Small Town Scuttlebutt.
Liz, how's it going?
It's going, Rick.
I was potting the music down too quick. Let's bring that back up. I like that jam.
It's Friday.
Let's quote Chris Tucker. Yeah, let's not. I hate Chris Tucker.
You do?
I do.
Anyway. I'm neither here nor there on Chris Tucker. I love the movie Friday, though.
that octave.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I'm in a position to be shitting on multi-million dollar celebrity talent when I've got a podcast that's, you know, we're not even in our studio right now. Wow, that music just played out on its own. How novice of me. You know what? I got a positive thing to start off with.
Oh, so we're going to continue the trend of Rick's positivity.
Yeah, it's still Lent, and it's kind of catching, actually. All right.
Are you, like, counting down the days to when it's not Lent anymore?
No, I feel like Lent is the training wheels, and I think I'm going to be a new man coming out of
you
this.
You think?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right.
We had a visitor, like, four times, and his name is Archie, the little dog.
He's so cute.
Every time he got released, you know, to go outside.
Yep.
And I guess there's something wrong with their invisible fence. He came right over to
he
us.
He did?
Once at 10 o'clock at night. Everyone's
no
in
way.
Bed. Yeah, everyone's in bed.
They let their dog out at 10 o'clock at night? He's a tiny little guy. I feel like that's not safe.
He got out. Oh. Had some guests.
Okay, got it. Yeah, he was super cute when I was here last week.
Yep. If you have a neighbor with a little toy poodle, I suggest you offer to be a babysitter if they go away. They're really easy. It's like a little cat. It's like a baby. You like to be cradled.
I know. He was. Well, Rosie was holding him, and I could see his little eyes drooping, like he was going to fall asleep.
Yes, I know. So you can lull him away. It's weird. I used to think those kind of dogs were ridiculous. I was thinking about you last night.
All right, this is getting weird.
Oh, it gets weirder. I was in my bathrobe, and I thought, I was doing show prep. That's why I was.
Okay.
And then I was looking at my bathrobe. I was thinking, wow, this is so comfortable. I'm like, I should have taken a picture and sent it to you, but that would have been weird timing and everything. But the bathrobe, I'm still a big fan of it.
Yes. And this is the bathrobe that you wore out of your house to chase Archie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm on standby. I mean, because, you know, if he escapes, I got to get him. I'm on call. I'll do anything for that little man. I don't know if I can be positive about this next story, so let's hand it over to you because I know you're going to be the ultimate expert on this. We talked a little bit about, well, we always talk about the censoring and the canceling, and I thought that was dying down. I thought people were making a stand, or it was just, you know, like any movement sort of runs its course, and then it's like, okay, we're done here. I think we've settled, like it's it happened the other day in Seattle. Comedy club kicked out four comics by progressive audience members complaining about the material. I passed it on to you, and you said, yes, two of these comics are from the Legions of Skanks.
The Legion of Skanks.
And I'm like, okay, if you don't know, guys, you're just tuning in. Liz is peculiarly interested in some very raunchy comedy. I love it.
I was listening to their podcast on the way over here, and they had Shane Gillis on after he did his stint on SNL, which we can get into as well if you want
absolutely.
To, because I have a lot to say about that.
Okay. I love it. Okay, so let's get right down to business. I was going to get reaction from a Boston comic, but, you know, I think you're like these fucking mics.
Well, Will Noonan, who is...
Sorry,
Boston comic, as well as a friend of the show, he played Skankfest several years ago, the comedy festival that Legion of Skanks produces. So when he told me that, he like went up even further in my mind in terms of cred as a stand-up comedian.
He's working his way up the Mount Rushmore. He's climbing.
Yeah, so you had texted me, hey, heard a Seattle comedy club owner canceled shows of four comedians scheduled to perform there based on feedback from their quote-unquote progressive. It wasn't even audience members. I think it was members of the community, let's say. So I Googled it, and I, of course, am very familiar with all four comedians.
Awesome.
So it was Dave Smith, Louis J. Gomez, who are two of the three members of Legion of Skanks, Kurt Metzger, who's also a part of that New York comedy crowd, same sort of, you know, group there. And then Jim Florentine, who I don't know if you know Jim Florentine. Yeah. He's been around forever. He's like super tight with Jim Norton. I mean, he's a legend.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is they were booked at that club. Tickets were selling. So people were like voting with their wallet, like, yes, I want to come see these people.
Yep, market
and
demands.
Then due to, again, community backlash, the comedy club owner said, you're canceled. And their managers called them and said, sorry, your shows are off. So I have a couple thoughts. Mm-hmm. One, Seattle, you let homeless people shit all over your sidewalks with abandon.
Fuck it,
but this is where you're going to take the stance? Okay, cool.
Preach. That's right. That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
And Seattle's, very liberal. So I'm not entirely surprised. As this woman comedy club owner, she's a business owner. She can run her business however she wants. If she wants to cancel them, that's within her right. However, these comedians are famous enough that you should know what you're getting into before you choose to book them at your venue. And maybe that's not the best market for these comedians. And their management maybe should have been like, this vibe is not great at this club. Like, let's book you somewhere. They're already rebooked at a different club in Seattle.
Yep.
But again, they were selling out. And I've seen Louis J. Gomez live. If you're buying tickets to any of these comedians, you know, you're familiar with them. And if you're not, shame on you. Mm-hmm. Again, Dave Smith, Louis J. Gomez, two of the three members of Legion of Skanks. Legion of Skanks produces a comedy festival every year called Skank Fest. It started in New York. It's now in Vegas.
I love the name.
I know.
How many times is Liz going to say Skank
Fest? I know, right?
The Skank Meter.
Yes. That festival is probably has become one of the most famous and best festivals in comedy. It sells out in minutes. They have Jim Gaffigan, the late great Bob Saget, Burt Kreischer, Nate Bargatze, Louis C.K. I mean, everybody.
Performs
at Skankfest.
Yep.
So they're legit, whether you like raunchy comedy or not, whether you like the names Legion of Skanks or not. I mean, they're legit.
Yeah.
And it was interesting that the timing of this cancellation coincided with Shane Gillis hosting Saturday Night Live. So literally, Saturday night was when they found out that they were canceled at this comedy club. So do we want to get into the Shane Gillis story? Because I can go on.
Yes.
And I hope it's not boring for our listeners.
No, I think, as we've developed a relationship with our listeners, everyone has grown to know and love Liz's takes on stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. I say, like, I've done stand-up comedy. You've studied stand-up comedy, right? I think that you know more about the players in the scene at the national. You watch the Netflix specials more than I do.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I'm watching Nature Channels narrated by Morgan Freeman. And you're, watching Skankfest volume 69 or whatever.
So for those of you who don't know, Shane Gillis is a stand-up comedian. He's completely blown up in the past year. But a few years ago, he auditioned for and was hired to perform on Saturday Night Live. He never got a chance to perform on SNL because 4 days after he was hired, some stupid troll blogger dug up a bit that he did on a podcast that had maybe some racist overtones to it. I'm not going to defend it. I'm not going to talk about it anyway. Because of all that backlash, Shane was fired from SNL before he got a chance to perform. Since then, he has had two huge 1-hour specials on YouTube. He's sold out Radio City Music Hall. He sold a self-produced comedy series to Netflix. He sells out everywhere. I don't think that missing out on being a cast member of a shitty sketch comedy show has hindered his career at all. He got more press out of being fired than he would have if he had
stayed. Okay, so I didn't know who Shane Gillis was beforehand. You did.
Yep. He was an opener for one of my favorite stand-up comedians, Dan Soder. Mm-hmm. And now Shane has, like, eclipsed Dan and is selling out bigger venues. So, I've known about him for years. But he kept in touch with Lorne Michaels after the firing and would run, like, skits by him, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So then he was asked to to host. And there was so much press leading up to him hosting, and 99% of it, of course, was, you know, bringing racist stand-up comedian Shane Gillis, blah, blah, blah. Oh. And I just knew all of the press afterwards would be like, he totally bombed, blah, blah, blah. And that's exactly what it was. So for the first time in I don't know how long, I watched SNL. His opening monologue was great. I didn't love any of the skits because I think most of the skits on SNL stank. Mm-hmm. That's not no fault of his. He did a great job in the skits, but he had a great opening monologue. I mean, he kind of addressed, like, you know, if you he gave a nod to him being hired and fired, and he's like, if you don't know the story, don't Google it. Just it's fine. We can move on. You know. So, I thought he did a great job. But yeah, I mean, you know. You don't have to bow down to the man to become famous. He's talented. He's a great writer. He's a great actor. And so he capitalized on the buzz he got and his talents, and he's totally blown up.
I'm totally proud of the guy. I liked how he was ribbing the audience a little bit. He's like, hey, I thought we could have fun here. Or something to that effect.
Yes.
People were a little apprehensive on laughing. And I just liked his delivery. It was very humble and almost like he's just hanging out by the grill.
Yeah, I mean, you know? He grew up in a blue-collar town outside of Philly. Like, he's just a normal guy that likes to drink beer and shoot hoops with his boys on the weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's a very, like, everyman kind of guy.
Let me ask you one question about the text message you sent to me. It was forwarded to me by one of the comics going back to the Seattle thing.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, the Instagram post I sent you? Yeah.
Yeah. I want to read it and then just give me your reaction. Mm-hmm. Okay, who was it by?
Luis J. Gomez.
That's Gomez. Mm-hmm. Okay. Actively harassing the club that unbooked our shows doesn't do anything for us. It gives them justification. Yes, they stink and caved to pressure from dork woke comedians. That's their right, though. We all already have dates booked in the area at a club that makes more sense. We can simply be right and move on. Over to you, Liz.
Yeah, so, I mean, the fan base of Legion of Skanks isn't all, you know, middle-aged white suburban women like myself. they tend to
maybe stick out like a sore thumb, I bet.
Completely. I mean, at their comedy shows, it's like, did someone bring their mom?
Yeah,
like,
right. Chaperone.
So, I mean, you know, there's a handful of dirtbags, more than a handful of dirtbags, right? Yeah, and so they, you know, go on a crusade to troll this and harass this club owner and blah, blah, blah. And what Luis J. Gomez is saying, like, it's not helping us. It's, you know, she's a business owner that she made a decision. He's a business owner. So he's kind of like, let's just move on. We're, you know, we don't need to make this a thing. We're booked somewhere else that makes more sense. We're going to sell out. No big deal.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was taking the high road.
Yes.
But, I don't know. I'm not into unions, but I think all comics and booking agents should just say, hey, you know what? We're going to put them on a 6-month blacklist.
Yeah.
Just that's your punishment. Like, we'll come back when you guys figure it out or until you promise us. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. But
it, like, I wouldn't, knowing that, I wouldn't, I mean, I don't live in Seattle, but like, if I did, I would not patronize that club. I wouldn't buy tickets to see a show at that club knowing that someone's going to bow down to progressive community members. Like, I don't want to support financially.
And that initial take, I think it's an original. This is an original. I've never heard it before. Seattle, you got people shitting in your streets.
Yeah.
That's okay. But, you know.
Maybe address the homeless encampments. Versus, like, I don't want someone telling dick jokes.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to be positive and just say, you know, America and all the communities within it, the leaders in place that, you know, make these laws or enforce them or don't enforce them, you voted for them. So you get what you get and you don't get upset. I think that's...
And it's a free market society.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She was within her right to cancel them. She shouldn't have booked them in the first place.
Yep.
People can go see them somewhere else. I think it's obnoxious to give shit to a comedy club owner for booking guests because... Seattle, oh, we're progressive. We give everybody a voice. No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You give people a voice that you want to hear.
Right.
With complete disregard to other voices.
Both extremes do that.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
But that's the extreme left
example.
And when you have an extreme, I don't think it ever works. Like,
No.
Would you want to live in, here's two states, opposite ends of the spectrum. Would you want to live in Arkansas or California?
Yeah, neither.
Like, California's beautiful, but.
It's a mess.
I think it's $15 for a gallon of
milk. Gas. Or, yeah, milk.
It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's move on.
Yes.
We all have neighbors in a small town. And, mm-hmm. you know, some of them are great. Some of them you don't even know. The smile and wave neighbor. Hi. You know.
Yep.
And then there's the shitty neighbor. Like the neighbor you just loathe, or they just do that thing that's just.
Yeah. I mean, we've shared a lot of Am I the Asshole stories about crappy neighbors.
Yes.
So.
Yes. So I wanted to incorporate something for the month of March.
Mm-hmm.
March Madness tournament for world's worst neighbor.
And are these actual stories about crappy neighbors or just types of neighbors?
Well, this is what we'll do.
Oh.
We've got to, we're not even, we have to decide who's going to make it to the tournament and who's going to be in the NIT. Like we'll have to, because only like eight teams can make it into the into our tournament, right? And every week we'll bring that down and we'll keep people posted. Maybe some side bets can go on.
Oh, you know? I like that.
Mm-hmm. So I have some top contenders, you know, highly ranked neighbors in the category of shitty neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like your help and assessment on deciding, like, yeah, they're in, or I can think of an example. And then what we'll do is we'll put them in the tournament, and then I'll find real-life stories to exemplify that person.
Okay.
And then which story was worse, and that person moves on. And then we'll see who the worst neighbor is in the world.
Love it.
I hope it's not me. Okay. The first one, the party animals. Some of these you might not have.
I was going to say,
now.
How...
Like, we're in Medfield. I think everyone's in bed by 9 and, you
I was going to say, I don't... The party animals, probably, you don't find that in the suburbs at this point in your life.
Small towns, though, some of them might have... I remember growing up in a little neighborhood and this... family had a party and the guy had a stereo and he brought the speakers out and cranked it. I mean, the cops had to come. That was one and done.
But that was like a one and done, yeah.
So what do you think?
I feel like that's not a suburban issue of the part. And if like you said, they're having like this big backyard summer bash, loudspeakers, that's a one and done. It's not like, Jesus, all right, Dave, another, you know, bash with your buddies.
That's right. Okay, we'll put them at the bottom of the rankings here. Last 2 years ago, a neighbor had a graduation party for her daughter, high school, big moment. Had it catered, had some tents, about 100 people with parents.
Wow.
It was a
that's legit.
It's moms, dads, kids, and everything. Someone dropped a dime on them.
Cut it out.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a shitty neighbor. The neighbor that drops a dime.
Let me see. Look at that.
Ah, dime dropper.
I wrote dime dropper down. I think the dime dropper. Is definitely.
Absolutely.
They might be the number one seed in their bracket, right?
And if you live in an HOA, the dime dropper, I mean, that's their full-time job.
Mm-hmm. they probably take a stipend from the dues.
Yes.
You think I want to be doing this? This is a job, you know. And why did I say it in a woman's voice? I don't know.
Because it's always a woman.
I'm going to presume it is.
Oh, for sure.
Although there are some guys. I heard a guy in town. Actually measures his lawn after it gets mowed.
Stop.
To ensure that, it's ridiculous. It's I can't even get into
it. That sounds like someone who's mentally ill.
Yes. Okay, how about this one? The yard storage guy.
So what's that?
He's working on a car.
Oh,
for 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, they have an RV, and someday they're going to use it.
Mm.
But not this year. Or probably not next year.
Right.
Kids playing it once in a while. I think there's bees growing under the thing. Stay away.
Squirrels made a nest in there.
Yeah. What else do you see on this guy's front yard? I say this guy.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a guy.
This is a bachelor.
There's like miscellaneous tools and parts that don't belong to anything. Yeah.
Yeah, because they might. Yeah, so salvage, right?
Yeah.
Some salvage parts.
And I bet there's like. His kids are like. In high school, but there's still like little kid toys in the yard. You know what I mean?
Which is a very bad sign. That guy's on a different list.
Yes.
I hope. Okay, so I think yard storage guy
completely.
Is awful. He should be in this
tournament. He should be on there.
Okay, so he's going to make it. Skittlebuds, feel free to weigh in. We'll put this up on the social media, which we're, as you can see, is up and running now. Again, we got that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why we weren't doing social media. We're just too busy. Too busy, man. Life. I mean, this is, you know, if someone wants to, you know, sign us to a super big, super max deal, then I will be working 80 hours a week on the podcast. But, you know, right now.
We can hire someone to do social media.
Yeah. Right now, I got to build stuff and breathe in toxic particles in terms of like.
Are you going to get mesothelioma?
I don't know. I bought a whole bunch of N95 masks with vents and. I was doing some painting. I could smell the paint. And I'm like, oof. Okay, I thought these worked.
Yeah, I thought that's why none of us got COVID.
Huh? Right, right. how about this? The didn't return that thing guy. And I say guy because.
Oh, yeah. It's like, can I borrow your.
I need a weed whacker.
Allen wrench. Is that a thing?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Allen wrench. Yeah. Might want the whole set. I mean, what do you want? Oh, the 3/16ths? Yeah. You want the. It's like, I don't know. I'll just. Do what every other guy does. Try this one. Nope. Try this one. Nope. Oh, that's it. Okay. Put these back. Okay. The didn't return that thing guy.
Yeah.
Do you relate at all to that one?
I mean, no, I don't have anything anyone would want to borrow. I also think, I mean, you'd have to be pretty brazen to be a neighbor that doesn't return something. Because you're going to run into the person you borrowed it from. Mm-hmm. And so is it just going to be this weird, like, passive-aggressive standoff where you're thinking, oh, shit, is he going to, like, bring up the weed whacker? Like, I don't even know where it is right now. Oh, my God, this is so embarrassing. Mm. Or is the other person going to be like, oh, dude, like, are you done with the weed whacker? I don't know. I don't know how much of an issue that is. I have no idea. I've never lent anything to a neighbor.
Yeah, I don't have that deal either. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you want... I would prefer, if I ever needed a tool that's big, I would go to Home Depot and rent it. You just bring it in, and it's insured, and if you break it, doesn't matter. You return it, and you're still friends with your buddy.
Exactly.
And you're not on the hook for returning something.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. We'll,
that's a TBD for me, I think.
TBD, yeah. I'm thinking it's leaning toward the NIT, not in tournament. the gossip person.
Oh,
gossip,
yeah.
Let's say gossip girl.
Gossip girl.
The one that, did you hear about Sally? Mm-hmm. Sally and John? Oh, my God, their kid is so stupid. Right? Yeah.
Kind of like that neighbor, though.
You
because
like
that's
the
where you get the dirt. Till you find out they're probably talking about you, too.
Well.
Because, I mean.
You need to identify the gossip person. Mm-hmm. And then you need to proceed with a plan, right? So you're like, oh, yeah, they're great. You get to know what's going on, but they're probably getting some intel. That's where you need to be careful.
Yes, and they have, how much you share.
Yes, and they do it via covert conversations and questioning. And,
yes.
And they're asking something, but they're really, it's, oh, my God. I've been hoodwinked a couple times, and I'm like, oh,
right.
Jesus.
Because like, oh, how are the kids doing in school? Oh, well, you know, little Johnny's kind of struggling with math. And, you know, I think we might have to get a tutor. Next thing you know, Johnny's on the verge of dropping out. He's so stupid. You know, like it's that game of telephone, but, ratchet it up a notch.
Oh, it's great. Because then it starts changing. Mm-hmm. No, I have a friend who's a gossip, and I let it fly because I'm a listener, you know, and I get a kick out of it. And a lot of the stuff is like salacious and juicy and provocative.
Do tell.
It's too personal. And this is a small town scale, but I want broad appeal.
Right.
You know, I'm going to say because my argument for putting them in the tournament is we could find a good real life story.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
Yes.
And that would be very entertaining. So I think gossip alone, you know, but the potential for finding that person in that gossip space, I think is, you know, a sleeper. As
they
say.
Agreed. Okay, agreed. Good. All right.
Are you having fun with this?
I am.
Okay. How about this? You'll love this one. The Boo Radley, you know, the probable psycho killer.
Mm.
Again, I don't have one of those, but, you know. Some people do.
I mean,
what is going on in that house?
Right.
Who is that guy?
Yeah. I know. We had, so several years ago, the family that lived next door to us moved to another town, but they didn't sell the house. They kept it and they rented out to this guy. So he lives there with his son, who I think is like early 20s or whatever. And shortly after he first moved in, Dan was talking to his brother. He's like, oh yeah, we had this new guy move in. Seems really nice. I go, you don't know that. Yeah. You have no idea if he's nice or not. I go, he could have kids chained up in the basement as we speak. Yeah. We don't know anything about him. I mean, he seems lovely, but they always do. Yeah. I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer's neighbors thought, you know, he was just really quiet and kept to himself.
BTK.
BTK.
The Boy Scout leader, yeah. Church guy. Yep. I mean, the dad. I mean, could you imagine, Liz, if that door behind you just kind of fell open and a body just laid out and...
I can't imagine that.
It was somebody I had a problem with earlier.
Yeah. I mean, you just don't know what people are capable of. So, yes... Yes, potential psycho killer. That's makes a good the one. List.
Oh, let's find a good story. Do you want to be tasked with finding the story there? Because I feel like you will come up with one.
I'll probably watch an episode of Dateline tonight and find it.
Exactly. In fact, if you want to have like two, which one gets probably, in?
Yeah.
You know, like the one game turning, right. Like easier time. Loud equipment guy.
Yeah.
Saturday morning, 9, the lawnmower's
yes.
on.
Yeah, lawnmower, weed whacker, what have you. Yeah, it's like a, yes, yeah.
Also, house project guy.
Mm-hmm.
When are you going to finish that damn thing?
Yeah.
You're doing the roof yourself, huh? Okay. Mm-hmm.
The neighbor that makes noise all weekend long, basically. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I have to say, so you say in the tournament.
Absolutely.
You're very, okay. Now, you know that I'm in the process of building a lot of things right now.
Yeah.
We're doing the studio. I have a table saw. I have a chop saw, both on stands. I can roll out. Mm-hmm. I take the cars out of the garage, and I have a big setup.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just open up the garage doors, and all the sawdust can just fly. It's loud. And
yep.
I start thinking to myself, you know, it's 2 in the afternoon. And I mean, this is the time to make noise. But it's consistent. A lot of people are home. I have next-door neighbors that are relatively close on that side. So I did shut the garage doors, and I shut, mm-hmm. the, you know, I just thought, now I can contain that sound. So self-awareness.
Right.
I am like, absolutely. I am that guy. You know, the other mm-hmm. night it was like 7:30 and I was making some cuts because I couldn't stop. I was almost at a stopping point.
Yeah.
Oh, 5 more cuts and measures. And it was like 7:30. So I shut the door.
That's very courteous of you. Like, I think if you're doing that, like, to your point, at 2 in the afternoon, mm-hmm. that's probably okay.
Yeah.
7:30 at night, not so much.
Yeah.
Right.
If we were to be positive, I have to say the best neighbor would be this guy I'm watching. He's building off-grid cabins. And they're about hour-long videos on YouTube. And it's great because it just kind of just... Not that he's boring, but it lulls you to sleep.
Yep.
You're seeing something built. It's kind of ASMR. And mm-hmm. he talks a little bit, but a lot of it's the chopping, the cutting. And he... is out in the middle of nowhere, so he has a generator for some power tools he needs, but he prefaced the one show that he was going to work with only hand tools today because it's opening day for deer hunting season, and he knows that there's a whole bunch of people that have been waiting all year for this day, and the last thing they want to hear out here in the middle of nowhere is my generator. and I thought, this guy is on his own property in the vast wilderness in the middle of nowhere in the woods, and he's thinking... there might be a hunter coming through within, you know, a half mile or two, and they don't want to hear this ongoing
thing. And that'll scare the deer, probably.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's an ultimate neighbor.
Speaking of noise, what is Leslie chopping something upstairs?
Yes, very slowly. She doesn't know how to Julianne a pepper to save her life.
I know, I'm like, chop. It's very methodical. I'm like,
chop.
Let's go. Yeah.
Chop. Chop. Like, that's not, is that my wife or is that one of the Tesla robots we just bought? Chop. Chop. The charity and awareness person. A lot of charity events. Can I, we're just, you know, Susie's, again, woman's voice. Susie's Girl Scout troop is raising money.
Okay.
There's that. Everyone's got to do that. Everyone's daughter kicks the tires on the Girl Scouts experience. Goes through the sales thing, but there's also like GoFundMe, you know, someone's mm-hmm. family members. I don't know.
Now, are these so? This would be someone who is using charity to make themselves look better, or constantly asking for money, or who is this person?
It's the person that has causes near and dear to them, and they really just want you to be near and dear to them too. So you keep getting hit up with requests for money, and you get told stories about this this community that needs this thing or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Kind of, but I feel like ultimately yard this sign. Is probably a good person if they're being altruistic. If they really have, you know, I'm not talking about the person who takes up a cause to make themselves feel better, like raising money for Rwandan refugee children. You know, like, are you super passionate about that? Or you saw a story on the news this week, and so now you're passionate about it, but 3 weeks from now, you're going to be passionate about something else.
Yeah.
I don't like those people.
Okay.
You know, where they take someone else's pain, and they're like, yeah, look at me.
Yeah.
I am doing something about this.
That's what I didn't and probably don't like. Or didn't that's a sniglet. Remember Rich Hall sniglets?
Yes.
Didn't-ly. I didn't really like, I had a visceral reaction to the ice bucket challenge because there is a guy who's dying. And this is a very serious thing. And he wants you to have fun with it. But he also wants you to fucking give you some money. Like,
right.
Like, there was people that completely lost sight of the fact that ALS, it was an awareness thing. And it's just like, oh, I'm doing this and I'm calling out. And it was just like, it kind of, there was, not everyone's videos, but there were definitely videos. I'm like, I think you're missing it. I, you know.
Right.
Like, yeah, you're like, this is not a party.
Right. Yeah. We're not celebrating. Like, everyone's ALS. Like,
you're in your bikinis, you know, by the pool. It's like, oh, it's cold. Well, then zoom in.
Right.
Rick, you're a perv.
All right. So I don't know about that one. I'm not totally feeling, I don't think it's tournament worthy.
NIT, not in tournament. Okay, how about the Joneses?
The keeping up with?
The person that's always, you know, I don't know if people are doing it. What's the worst part about being one of the Joneses? Is it the fact that you're always getting the TV that's a little bit bigger or the car that's newer? Yeah. Or the fact that you talk about it?
Oh, the talking is the worst.
My parents could not. There was a guy in our neighborhood that was a talker and just didn't have the same values as my family, you know, in terms of what's important. And it was like, you can tell when my parents got caught up talking with them because they'd come in, oh, Rick, my mom to my dad, talk to so-and-so again.
Yeah.
Ridiculous, you know.
Yeah. We actually had, we had friends. It was the guy, this couple, the guy Dan was really tight with, like, before I even met him. Mm-hmm. So this guy, I'm not going to name their names, this guy and his wife, and as couples, we hung out a lot. And then when the husband took over a family business, you know, they became wealthier, whatever. Mm-hmm. Every conversation we had with, it was really her. I really enjoyed the husband, but with the wife, every conversation we had had a price tag attached to it. She talked about the big party they threw in the summer, and she said, oh, so-and-so said that probably cost X thousand. And she goes, oh my God, it was like twice that. Yeah. Like the vacation, it was X thousand. It was that every conversation we had had multiple dollar figures dropped during it. And I finally said to Dan, I go, I don't want to go out with them anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Yeah.
It's annoying. There's no conversations of substance and I'm just kind of done. I don't, that's not a relationship, the type of friendship that I want to have. And he's like, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't know why that people, you know, I was told once in my career, you keep score by, you know, your salary, like how much money you make. That's how you keep score. The guy was the CEO. And I was, thinking that's a CEO mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's kind of giving me advice on career and was just like, that's the measuring stick, what you make. And I thought, okay. But I mean, what about the back end of, you know, contributing to society?
Right.
I mean, any job that's legal, I'm down with.
Yeah.
I was at breakfast the other day and my buddies had a great suggestion for me to mine material for comedy
because
I don't work. I don't have a job. They said
can get like fodder. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, you should go be a Walmart creator for a month.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, you know what? Just the hiring process. like would be great.
Oh yeah.
Like the interview. What qualifications do you have to be a greeter? I'm like, I can say hello in three languages. Right. Like,
do you have to be able to stand on your feet for X amount of hours?
Yeah. I can smile.
Yeah.
I can check people's receipts, put them in a headlock. I can take people down. Okay, I think that's a start. So scuttlebuds.
Wait, I think we're missing.
Oh yeah,
two.
Okay. What do you got?
Neighbor that lets their dog poop on your property.
The dog walker.
Mm-hmm.
Who's unaware.
And then the ninja neighbor that like sneaks up on you when you're like taking groceries out of your car and you're like, Jesus Christ! And then you
get
stuck.
That's like a character in a movie. Yeah. That's Amy Poehler.
Yes!
Cast Amy Poehler with a big smile popping out of the car.
Ninja neighbor.
Yeah. Hey neighbor.
Yeah. And then you get stuck in a conversation as you're standing there holding your groceries. You're like, fuck, ice cream's melting.
Yeah, or I have to pee. I have to pee so bad. I was at the hardware store talking to Angela, one of my favorite people there. Mm-hmm. Right? She's also a crossing guard in town by the Dale School in the afternoon. So if you see her, give her a nice wave. We were talking, and I all of a sudden got nauseous, very weird, but I felt like I wanted to throw up.
Oh.
And I'm listening to her telling me a story, and I'm just like, what's my exit strategy? Like, if I got to bail, I mean, the door's to the left, but it's going to be awkward. I muscled through it. Very strange, right?
Yeah, that is strange. That is. But I think you could just say, oh my gosh, I'm just like all of a sudden not feeling well. I'm, you know, I mean, people get that, right?
It sounds like the story is really boring.
Right.
I'm sorry, I have to go wash my hair.
I'm sorry, but your story's making me sick.
Okay, so ninja neighbor. Okay, so you want to see what we have here? The yard storage guy, the dog walker who's unaware, the gossip girl. The dime dropper, the ninja neighbor, the probably a psycho killer person, the loud equipment guy. we are. So that's what we have so far.
Cool. Right? I think that's a really good start.
Yeah. So if you guys at home playing along didn't hear the neighbor that you can't stand, well.
Yeah, maybe we missed something.
Yeah, share with us. And then next week the tourney starts and it's going to get real. It's going to get real. What's your position on real insurance companies? Are you a fan? You love them?
No. Why would I love an entity that I pay things to, and then when I need them, they probably aren't going to pay me?
Yeah.
So we had friends that, we had like a ton of rain recently. We had friends, their basement flooded, and their insurance company was initially saying, oh, sorry, we're not going to cover that for you. And it was like $18,000 worth of damage. They finally argued enough where it is being covered, but I don't think insurance companies really, at the end of the day, are in business to protect consumers. They're in business to make money.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, I mean, I understand we need them, but.
Shortly after my Nana was widowed, a big ice storm in New Hampshire collapsed the roof of the garage. Tried to get the insurance.
Oh my gosh.
She was not getting the insurance.
Wow.
I don't remember the reason why, but my dad picked up my grandmother, brought her to the broker's office, and unannounced, and sat down, you know, got him in and said, this is Eleanor, and you've denied her what's rightfully, you know, hers, which is, you know, her insurance. So the guy coughed it up.
Oh,
like, that's all
God.
You need to do. You have to bring an old lady into the goddamn insurance office.
That's wild.
And say, look at her in the face and tell her that they're not liable.
Sorry, Nana.
And that her next payment for whatever it is that you do is coming up
right,
that week.
Right.
Like, ask her for a check now. I mean, you know, do her a favor.
God.
Save postage. Least you could do. Ridiculous.
So gross.
It is gross. But they have great commercials. That's where they...
They do.
They get great commercials.
The Geico, you know, Progressive.
Yeah. Oh, when I have a dad moment or like an old, like a... I always say to Leslie, oh, call Dr. Rick from Progressive.
Yes!
I just printed out directions or something like that.
Those are the best commercials.
I used to print out tickets. You know.
Totally. I mean, I still feverishly check my Apple Wallet, like, as I'm going somewhere and be like, is it still there? Is it still there?
Yeah. I had breakfast the other day with a guy who had his Outlook calendar for the day printed out, and he had that with the New York Times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, that's old school.
Old school.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
The tangible stuff. Okay, well, you're going to just despise insurance companies even more with this story that came out. And I dug around. This is in Worcester. Worcester, Massachusetts. Not a small town, but a small city. Mm-hmm. And this applies to anyone because it involves insurance. So you small town scuttlebuds, keep an eye in the sky mm-hmm. because insurance companies could be using drones to evaluate your property.
Is that even legal?
I don't know about that. I mean, I bet that's situational. Or I don't know.
I don't know.
That's probably state by state.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, here I did some show prep. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here, want to listen to the story? They can tell it better than me, and then we can discuss.
Perfect.
A lot of people lately have been going through the roof when they open their homeowners' insurance renewals. Increased building costs combined with catastrophic weather events around the world have led to skyrocketing insurance rates. But that's not the half of it for a Worcester woman who couldn't believe what her insurance company was asking her to do.
Well, I panicked.
Athena Haddon got a letter no homeowner ever wants. It said her homeowner's insurance was not being renewed. The issue? Her roof.
They wouldn't budge. That was their determination. There was no appeal process or no negotiating.
Her insurance company, Travelers, wrote the roof shows advanced signs of wear and needs to be replaced. It was the original slate roof on her Worcester triple decker, but Athena says she had kept up with maintenance and had no leaks.
Okay, there's the gist.
So they're using a drone to evaluate.
No one even came over.
Wow. Yeah.
So.
And she didn't get any warning like, oh, hey, we had a drone fly over your roof and you really need to get this addressed. Otherwise, we won't be able to renew your insurance.
Yeah. We have to stop the madness.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. What do you do?
Your kids are playing outside. Yeah. That is gross.
Yep.
So you've got something spying on my family and my children mm-hmm. are outside. That is so weird. Again, I question the legality of that. And if she pushed back, if she sued them mm-hmm. and said, this can't be an effective, measurable way to judge the efficacy of my roof. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like, is that a proven method?
I don't know. Let's dig into this further. Mm-hmm. Let's check with Evan Walsh and get his take. I mean, he's an advertiser, but he's also a real estate guru.
Yes.
He probably has a great take on this. And because my phone's not hooked up, after you leave, I'll do a quick question. He'll give an answer.
Perfect.
It'll be like you're still in it. Why do you say something like that I can add into it? Like, thanks, Evan. No, yeah. No. Is there a catchphrase?
Oh, hi, Brian.
Oh, hey, here's our friend Brian from earlier. Let's see what he wants. Hello? Oh, hold on a second. Oh, fuck. Yeah, can I call you later? Yeah, I know that, bud. But we're recording our podcast and we're talking about how the, what do you call it? The comedy club just canceled four comics by a bunch of progressives. You guys don't do anything about homeless people shitting on your sidewalks, but some mean comics came by and we wanted a reaction from a person that lives in Seattle. And so that's why I called you. And I was kind of hoping I was going to wake you up, but it would have been good podcasting. I'm aware of how time zones work. You're at work at 6:46. Yeah. Okay. I'll call you later. I'm doing a podcast. Okay. Yeah. So again, like Brian, I mean, you get what you vote for, pal. That's
right.
It. That's good for you. You got what you wanted. Mm-hmm. Taking a positive spin. You wanted the homeless people and you wanted no one to have fun at a comedy show.
That's right.
Two wins. Good for you. Go for the hat trick. Things always happen in threes. Right? I think we covered a lot of stuff today.
Oh, my God. Did we ever?
We got the tournament. I'm happy about the tournament. We have a story arc going here.
Woo. Oh, my God. We did show prep.
Yeah, we did show prep. Did you hear that audio clip? I can play it again. Yeah, we did a good job. And we got some sound bites from friends and friend sponsors.
Yep.
That's great. So, good for us. I just felt like if we're making the new studio and I'm getting video equipment, we're leveling up.
Mm-hmm.
I am recommitting to just adding a little more pizzazz to the shows.
Love it.
So there we go. And I was ready for you.
You were.
Which I'm not always ready. Like, Rick, you can't be ready for your own podcast. It's like I've been so, you know, scattered and stuff, and I'm committing. Today I was ready for you, and then I had to go to the bathroom, but that doesn't count. Everyone, I had to go to the bathroom. Don't you hate it when people have to go to the bathroom and they tell you, oh, I have to go to the bathroom? Do you know that person? It's like, I don't need to know this. What the?
Mm-hmm.
The person that talks about what they're doing out loud, like, okay, just need to get the milk.
I'm just going to get a glass of water, and then I'm going to do this.
And and then what are you going to do?
Right.
I don't need
a play-by-play.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we get out of here?
All right.
Go venture off and carpe the fucking diem.
Yeah. Woo! Scuttlebuds, thank you guys for sticking with us as we meandered through a bunch of different topics today, but I think they were all really interesting. And as Rick said, if you guys have anything you want to add to the, you know, neighbor, crappy neighbor bracket, send us an email, smalltownscuttlebutt@gmail.com. Follow us on our socials, Facebook, Instagram, @smalltownscuttlebutt, and rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. See you later.